say, a little slower, son, you're doing just fine. Just a dirt road with trash on each side, but I was merry, oh, and ready when Daddy let me drive.
Well, old Gabe and Alex thought they were Mario Andretti this week. Oh, is that Tuesday morning on the way home from Winslow, driving across Chevron Mesa up there? Oh, State Route 99 turns into Forest Service Road 34, and Forest Service 34, Romy, doesn't get snowplowed, so you get 48 miles south of Winslow, and you know what you got to do?
Turn around.
Turn around. Well,
they gated it off.
You don't know how close I was to shifting into four drives. As a matter of fact, the Forest Service blockade of Forest Road 34 was someone had tried to run it over. They had aggressively tried to plow that thing. Why you don't put a sign back where Highway 89
48 dirt miles
diverts
back
87 and say there's no access to Route 260 on this road?
But the boys were happy. They just got to play drive more, and
we played that song for 2 hours as they were driving back. Anyway,
hey, I had a caller during the break.
Well, we'd like to have callers at 1-888-767-4348 to visit with Steve Love, the marketing manager for La Mesa RV, talking about your dreams, your lifestyle, your memories that can be created in your home on wheels.
Well, Miss Mary was sneaking in a call at work. We get that on Saturdays. Yeah. And so she...
I can't come on here. I think my boss is listening in the other room.
She is listening. So, and it sounds like she's working towards retirement, and she and her husband have some plans. They live in an HOA. So this is things you have to think about if you're planning on becoming an RVer. It's like, where are you going to park it? You know, do you want to tow a car? Do you want to just take the whole unit? So her request, she's an HOA that doesn't allow RVs. So she's thinking, like the van style, that she can actually park in her driveway without getting in trouble with the HOA. She wants it completely self-contained, so it would have a little kitchenette and a bathroom facility. So she's wondering what fits that. Steve, what kind of vehicle would she be looking at?
It's probably going to be more of a Class B, and those are going to be very rare to fit the HOA requirements, because most Class Bs will still have an awning attached to the roof. So, depending on how
is that the criteria?
Not necessarily. It could be because there's an air conditioner on the roof, and they're going, you know, this is no longer a van. This is truly an RV. So every HOA is going to have a little different definition of what is and is not an RV.
Okay. So you should pay close attention to what those requirements are.
Correct. And we had a manufacturer that did an HOA option where the air conditioner was hidden underneath the RV and there was no awning. So there are some capabilities, but that manufacturer is no longer building those at the current time.
What about that?
That's clever.
That Class A that you showed us, Steve, it looks like a... kind of like a transit look to it. Would that fit the bill? Or
well, not necessarily, Jennifer. That was actually a Mercedes-based 4x4 Class B motorhome that's a four-wheel drive. Now, if you remember, it was very aggressive. So at the top of it, we had a roof rack. We did have air conditioners. Mm. We have solar panels up there. It's going to be upon that HOA definition of what is and is not an RV, what they will and will not accept.
I mean, that was your zombie chasing unit. you'd have to find a spring of water to fill up your fresh water supply.
Correct.
But I mean, everything you needed. I mean, it was four wheel drive, solar powered, GPS. I mean,
lithium batteries to keep you powered up.
That's right.
Well, that was the one I think of for more like sports minded people, maybe. You know, if you're a biker, hiker, racer, you have everything you need, but you're not necessarily like hanging out there, right?
Well, you may not hang out there. It may be taking you to your next destination. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, let's keep exploring. You had a closed road. Well, maybe you barreled over that closed road sign and figured out, okay, where can we go with this? And it really gives you that true off-road experience. But if it's back to an HOA requirement, I would doubt that particular one would match that requirement.
That's going to be tough. But there are so many off-site parking
storage facilities. Yes, or you may have the house may have been built where there is parking to the side of the house. Again, it's going to be what are the rules and regulations, CCNRs or HOA requirements that would or would not allow you to do that there.
I would tell Mary to take a good look at what she's got and then come see you, Steve.
I think that's a good idea, yeah. And at least bring it in and say, here's my restrictions, and let us see if we can help guide her to the right one.
I mean, how many units do you have on the lot? I think Jennifer and I were there with you getting a tour for an hour, and I think we went through maybe five or six. We didn't scratch the surface.
We just got started on your workout plan that day for going up and down steps. So,
how many units do you have in inventory?
In our Phoenix location, we've got 325, 350 units today. In Mesa, we've got about the same. Across the country, 2,500, 2,600 units, depending on the day.
Wow. I would tell Mary she just needs to go get her tennis shoes on.
And come on down.
Come on down.
And know your restrictions and requirements coming in, and let us help you find what may or may not fit.
And on 17, they've got that construction done, so you can actually get to your Phoenix location now without having to take surface streets.
Well, there's all kinds of ways of getting there. Our location actually in Phoenix is on I-10 at 75th Avenue.
Did I say 17?
Yeah, you said 17.
I'm sorry, I'm an I-10.
After the curve.
Yes, that construction is finished, so it's much easier to get there. And if you want to go south on the 202 South Mountain, you can do that very easily from that location too.
Nice. Yeah, and on the facility, once you pull in, you know, everything we've talked about today so far has been motor-driven, but you've got campers that you would hook up to a pickup truck or, you know, whether it's a fifth wheel or a tongue pull.
Well, we have both travel trailers, which are the tongue pull, as you may, and those can range in various short sizes, maybe from 19 to 30 feet. And then we have what's known as a fifth wheel, which takes depending on the weight of the fifth wheel itself, is going to take a pickup with a specialized hitch in the bed of the pickup. Quite often we're looking at heavier ones that maybe are going to be like a 350. Sure if I can mention brand, but
that Ford F-350 is the right selection.
There we go. And those are going to be more robust as far as sleeping and living areas and what they contain. So there is a full range of product out there, regardless of what your desires are. We can usually match it up to not only your budget, but what you plan to do with it and where you want to go and how many family members you may want to take or leave home.
Jennifer and I came desperately, desperately close to buying one when they came out with the toy hauler, because I felt like it was a kitchen and a living room on wheels. And we never would live inside of it anyway. It would just be a place for the kids to throw bunks and stuff. And then you would set up outside underneath your awning. It'd be where your living quarters are. We came really, really close. We rented one a couple times, took family vacations in them. And loved them. But the one innovation that really bit me was the slide outs.
Certainly. Well, and slide outs, and you know, there's multiple terms for slide outs. So some people may call them a pop out or a slide out. Slide outs have been around for about 25 years, and not every manufacturer offered those at the very start.
Man.
And when slide outs got started, they may have been simply moving a sofa, and that was somewhat called a sofa slide at the time, because the only thing that was moving was the sofa itself. I work for a manufacturer, and our owner refused to do slide outs, and so he was one of the last ones to actually introduce them to the market.
Interesting.
But now slide outs have gone beyond that, just moving a sofa. So you may have multiple slide outs. The fifth wheel may have 3, 4, 5 slide outs. A Class A, which is the bigger motorhomes that you see that we haven't talked about much yet, but a Class A may have what's called a full wall slide out, where you have from back of the path or the driver to almost the very rear of the coach, the whole wall is sliding out, potentially moving beds, kitchens, dining areas, opening up that area for quite a bit more living space when you're parked and camping.
And it revolutionized the RV park.
Well, it did, and it caused some problems too, because a lot of national parks and state parks weren't quite prepared for that change. They were back in the day when all RVs were 8 feet wide, or 8.5 feet wide was considered a wide body at that time. So when slide outs came in, they may have had trees, they may have had the next camping site next door. Slide outs couldn't go out. So there have to be some upgrades and modifications at a lot of campgrounds to accommodate today's RVers.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked through the A's and the
we've talked
C's,
the C's
and
the B's,
and
we're working our way up the alphabet. Let's
go ahead and jump into an A. I mean, we compared it to a home, the starter home, the move-up home. Now, Now we're going to talk McMansions.
All right. Well, we have McMansions.
Yeah, on wheels.
Which have a McPrice to them as well. Not all A's are the McMansion. You also have entry-level Class A's, which are typically gas-powered.
Okay.
They may be 29, 30 feet in length, and gas A's will probably go up to about 35, 36 feet in length. We start looking at diesel pushers because now as you get longer, you're typically carrying more weight and you're trying to push more weight around. So diesel pushers will probably be into the range of about 35 to 45 feet in range. You asked earlier about a driver's license. In some states, when you go over 40 feet in length, you are going to have to get a special designation on your driver's license to be able to drive something over 40 feet.
I have to tell you, there's something about that I like. I mean, someone who's driven a sedan their whole life jumps into one of these rigs. They're not familiar at all with slippery road handling characteristics, the weight you're carrying. I don't know. There's
overpasses, drive-throughs,
drive-through,
making sure you fit. But again, that's cat whiskers. But you know, RVers don't always have to be in a rush like when you're a commuter car.
That's true too.
You know, and typically they know the value of what they're driving around, and they're not going to be trying to be the speed demon down the 10. They're going to be trying to be cautious and know where they need to go, and also how the best way to get there.
Now, never having experience the Class A's. I mean, in a diesel pusher, what is the fuel capacity of a typical unit?
Well, so nobody has to call 911, but those can range from maybe 75 to 300 gallons, just depending on the manufacturer and the size of the fuel tank.
And you put 200 gallons in one of those, and what's your cruising range?
That depends. You know, part of that's going to be where you're driving. You know, if you're in a mountainous territory, or if you're on flat roads, or if you got a tailwind or a headwind, and if you're a lead foot, or if you just put it on cruise and let it go. So you're probably in a 7 to 9 mile per gallon range.
So, all right, 200 gallons.
You could go
from here
ways
to New Orleans on a tank.
Yes.
Gotta love that.
And you've got a refrigerator on board, so load up some Cajun food and bring it back
there
and share
go
it with the friends.
Absolutely. And boy, that is the one thing my mom fought in 1972 with that 32-foot Winnebago Chieftain, trying to keep enough food. I mean, there were 10 of us.
Yeah.
Well, there were 9 because my older sister opted to stay home and not go on the trip for some reason. But there were 9 of us in that RV. And I don't know how mom kept. You know, we had an ice chest that was kind of on the floor of the kitchen and stuff like that and things like that. But what they've done with the appliances over the last few years is pretty impressive.
Certainly. And you know, what you find now in a lot of Class A's, you're finding residential refrigerators. So those that you would find built into a regular house are now being incorporated into an RV. You know, they do take some battery and power to keep them running when you're going down the road or having a generator running. So you don't really want to look for that 50-mile extension cord if you're leaving town quickly.
Well, what they've done in the RV parks to accommodate those, you drive through those upgraded RV lots with people set up with their awnings, and they virtually have an outdoor living room right out the door of the RV. And that's where they're living and visiting with friends and bringing people in. It really is a lifestyle.
It really is a lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle that you can change day by day. If you don't like where you're at, you can move on. Or if you like where you're at and you like the neighbors and the area you're in, that's great. We see in this market a lot of winter visitors because there's a little snow up in the northern territories and countries. So that brings a lot of RVers into this market as well as in other parts of the southern U.S., and then when it gets a little warm here, you can go north.
Absolutely. You pick your lot.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a fascinating lifestyle. And the memories I have, my folks owned that unit for 15 years, but I was only home for 3 of those years. But, I mean, the family pictures and the albums of the family trips – I mean, they ran that unit
into the ground. But those are memories.
I mean, they absolutely did. It was real family memories.